Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then Pastor Rick Snacker will be here, and always sure to be a blessing with his message there, and that's coming at 2 o'clock, and what a good message from Pastor Lutz today on Joseph. You know, I agree. He's somebody that we often overlook. We think about what took place there and on the birth of Christ and what Joseph had to go through, especially in the time frame in which that took place, the culture and everything, and how hard it must have been for him with the situation with Mary, his fiance. He was betrothed to her, and then all of a sudden find out that she's expecting, and you know, most people don't first think of a divine miracle taking place. But what a good message, and I appreciate that from Pastor Lutz. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al here this afternoon, and we're going to be looking at something else dealing with the birth of Christ as well, the miracle of God manifest in the flesh. But also, we are a live program. If you've got something you'd like to call in about, too, our telephone lines are open. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're guest-free today, so we can do that. And let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us be a blessing to somebody here and that's listening. And we just pray that we could help people that are searching, point them to Christ, that they might find Christ and put their faith in him as their Lord and Savior. Also for believers, that you'd help them in their walk with you, Lord. Encourage them. Bless the program. Use it for your glory today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And just again, reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us there. You can also look at our past programs there. We have a number of past programs, even going beyond what's on the page. There's a link to an archive page, and there's some other materials there as well. And let me encourage you to check us out on livewithpastoral.com. You can also go from there to our Facebook page, or you can go directly to facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and you can find us there as well. And YouTube, we've got a YouTube page for Live with Pastor Al as well. And actually, you can just search for us on YouTube, or you can go to our Facebook page, or you can go to our regular webpage, livewithpastoral.com. So with all that in mind, we're going to get into a couple of things. Weird sounds in the studio. Not sure what that was. Every once in a while something happens, but it made me look around. But anyway, I was also going to mention too our church before I get going too much further here. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, you can find us at 5171 Brecksville Road. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and that is every Friday. We're there from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, actually later. I think most times I don't leave there until about 10:30, and sometimes later. Also, you can find us there on Sundays. We have our Friday nights, our Bible study. On Sundays, we have our regular services. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we get together. We have our morning Bible study, and we are currently looking at some things on Israel and Bible prophecy. Then on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, our morning service at 11 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through 1 Thessalonians. And then on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we have our evening service, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday night. So, and then our Friday night Bible study is open, whatever questions people have, bring up, and different things, that just like we do on the program a lot of times, questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. So, all right, we're going to get into something here. And again, if you've got a question or something today, something you want to bring up, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we do this on Sunday nights as well from 11 o'clock until midnight, and usually have more time for calls then. But here today, I want to just touch on something to get started here in the Gospel of John. Is a great passage here that I want to link with a passage over in 1 Timothy, and in 1 Timothy here, chapter 3 and verse 16. And so I'm going to start with the 1 Timothy 3:16 and read that first. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And that passage there where it says God was manifest in the flesh, this is what we celebrate at Christmas time. We're going to look at a couple things as we head up to Christmas here in the celebration of the birth of Christ. We're celebrating the very fact that God himself was manifest in the flesh. Now that brings me over to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And then a little further down in verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And you know, this is what we celebrate at Christmas time, the birth of Christ, yes, but more importantly, the incarnation of God in human flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, you know, this is a great passage to link together. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and John chapter 1 and verse 14. Those two verses right there not only tell us about the miracle of the incarnation of God, the miracle of Christ coming into this world, God taking on human form, but it also tells us that Jesus Christ is God. You know, you get people periodically that try to say that Jesus isn't God. They say that he's a created being. For instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that he's Michael the Archangel, that God created Michael the Archangel, and we know him as Jesus, and that Michael the Archangel then slash Jesus created everything. God used him to create everything that exists. Now, that presents some problems, which if time permits, we may touch on here, dealing with the fact that God said he created everything by himself without any help. And so if he created Jesus and then turned over everything to Jesus, then that wouldn't be true. You know, I put up some ceiling in my basement this past week. And I can say I put up ceiling in my basement, but I cannot say I did it by myself. I had a number of people who helped me, so it's not by myself. I can say I did it, I just can't say by myself. And if God created Jesus slash Michael the Archangel and then had him create the worlds, then he didn't do it by himself. So, but regardless of that, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, "God was manifest in the flesh. God. It doesn't say anything about Michael the archangel here. It doesn't say anything about a created being. It says God was manifest in the flesh. Then in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So 1 Timothy 3:16 says God was manifest in the flesh and made flesh and dwelt among us, essentially the same thing. And John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh," or "the Word was manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us." See how that works? The Word must be God. Now, as I said, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that he's Michael the Archangel. He's a created being. The Mormons teach that he's the elder son or the elder brother of Lucifer, both of them sons of Jehovah, and they actually teach, contrary to what Pastor Lutz was talking about earlier about the Joseph and Mary, Jesus was not the product of a normal human conception. It was a divine conception where he was made flesh, but the Mormons teach that Jehovah God came and slept with Mary and produced Jesus in that normal fashion. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was made manifest in the flesh. And when we take that back here to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, the question's answered for us how this can be, because it says, "In the beginning was the Word, when the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so it tells us right there the Word is God. God is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was was manifest in the flesh. It all ties together. See, Scripture ties together when you care to keep it in context, and various passages support one another. And I've had people tell me, "There's nowhere in the Bible that specifically says that Jesus is God." Well, right here it just did. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it said that he's God. And in comparing John chapter 1, verse 14, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that Jesus is God. And say, "Well, how do you know the Word is Jesus?" Well, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's very clear. Well, who was made flesh and dwelt among us? That's Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. The fact that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that God was made flesh and dwelt among us, God was manifest in the flesh, the Word was manifest in the flesh. Let me turn over here to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4 here, and we'll drop down to verse number 4. Actually, let's go to verse number 3. That's where the sentence starts. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when," now notice this, verse 4, "but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now, did you catch that? God sent forth his Son, but he did it in the fullness of time. See, when Jesus came into the world the first time, it was in fulfillment of numerous Bible prophecies, and perhaps in a later program we'll deal with some of them, but it had to be at a certain time, and not the least of which Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9, where he lays out the future history of Israel, gives a time for when the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem. And so for the Messiah to enter into Jerusalem at that time, he had to be old enough to do that. And so they would have known at the time that Mary was given the announcement that she would carry the Christ child, and that she was selected, when the angel said to Mary, you know, that she gave her the message that she was going to be the chosen vessel to carry the Christ child, so that the Word, so that God could be made manifest and made flesh and dwell among us. They knew that they were in the general time frame of when Jesus would come. And so it had to be in the fullness of time. And then God sent forth his son, that's the incarnation, and he says, made of a woman, made under the law. And there's two things that are important there. One of them, made of a woman, is if Jesus had a physical father, he would have had a sin nature. This is why the miracle of the virgin birth is so important. Jesus could not have had an earthly father. If he did, he would have inherited the sin nature. And the Bible makes it clear that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So by one man, sin entered the world. That's Adam, when he disobeyed God and he ate the forbidden fruit. Now, Eve was coerced and deceived and tricked into eating the forbidden fruit by the devil in Genesis chapter 3. Adam made the choice. He went into it eyes wide open, so to speak. He was not deceived. He was not tricked. He was not duped. He was not conned. He made a choice. Plus, sovereignty over the world was given to Adam with Eve as his helpmeet, so he had the responsibility. He was the responsible authority. And when he chose to disobey God, sin entered into the world, and God had told them that in the day that they ate that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. Of course, the devil denied that, said, "You won't surely die." And then the moment that they ate the fruit, they died spiritually. You say, well, they lived for hundreds of years after that, according to the book of Genesis. Well, that's true. They did physically. The physical process of death started when God placed the curse on them. But immediately at the moment that they disobeyed God, they died spiritually. So they did die that day. I believe they were covered with a light, kind of like the Shekinah glory of God, garments of light. You know, the Bible tells us that when we go to heaven, we're clothed with garments, robes of righteousness, and God clothes us. And, you can go down to the Creation Museum down in Northern Kentucky, and I highly recommend it if you've never been there. I've been there a couple of times, and some of my wife's family is in that area, so I've had opportunity to see it a couple of times. And if you've never seen it, let me recommend that you go check it out. But a lot of these creation ministries, they like to artfully depict Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden without anything on, but the problem is, I think they were covered with robes, garments of light, but that's sort of a little rabbit trail. But whatever it was, I think it departed the moment that they sinned and disobeyed God, and that's why they knew they were naked, because the garments that God had given them were gone, the light of God that was gone. And it is kind of interesting. The human skin actually glows, and I'm not talking about the the infrared glow that you can pick up if you have infrared and thermal sensing devices, but there is a glow. It's just that wavelengths we can't, or amount that we cannot see. And it's interesting that when Moses was in the presence of God on the mount, when he went up, he came back, he glowed so much that it was a little disconcerting to the people. He had to actually put a veil over his face. He had to actually cover himself because, he literally lit up the place when he walked into a room. And so it was a little troubling to people. They couldn't hardly handle it. So thinking, boy, reading your Bible at night, that'd be pretty good. You don't need a flashlight or a light. You just light it right up. But he actually glowed so much. And that was just from being in the presence of God indirectly. And that's kind of interesting. And it does make me think that perhaps because they enjoyed perfect fellowship with God, they had these garments of light. But be that as it may, they were... died spiritually. They died spiritually, and as a result, they were separated from God. And you see that in the Garden of Eden when God comes down to talk with them, and they hide in the garden, and God calls out to Adam and asks where he is, and God knew exactly where he was and what he had done. He calls out so that Adam would admit what he had done, and that Adam would come to the realization to himself and admit to himself and to God that he was separated from God and hiding from God. And you know, that's the interesting thing, because see, Jesus coming into the world without without a sin nature, by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. So that passed on to all. If Jesus had a human father, he would have inherited the sin nature. He couldn't have been our Redeemer, our Messiah, our Savior. But he was made of a woman, and of course that was in answer to biblical prophecy, a virgin should conceive and bear a child. And he was made under the law, and he was in the line of David, but he also avoided the curse of Jeconiah. Because Joseph here. I feel like when my grandmother would be over and call all of his kids, she'd go through everybody's name before she got to the one she wanted. But when Joseph has his genealogy given, he goes back to David, but he's in that line of Jeconiah, and no descendant of Jeconiah was allowed to be king, to sit on the throne of David, and that was a curse that was placed there. But Mary is also of the line of David, and she goes back but avoids the curse of Jeconiah. So he's made under the law and all that, so that he could redeem us without sin, not under the curse of Jeconiah, all of these things. When Jesus came into the world, he came to redeem them that were under the law, according to Galatians 4, verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And you know what? Here's our ministry today then. We recognize God was manifest in the flesh. We recognize the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We recognize that the Word is God and the miracle of the incarnation. We recognize all of that. But then we have to do what God did back in Genesis chapter 3, where he called out to Adam, asking where he was. We need to take that message. Let me go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 again. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. Then he says, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. We need to go into the world and tell them that God is calling to them. Calling to them, where art thou? And when people realize that God is calling, and they're willing to answer that they'd sinned, and they're hiding from God, and the unsaved people are hiding from God. They're hiding under the guise of false religion. They're hiding under the guise of morality. They're hiding under the guise of drugs and alcohol. They're hiding under the guise of all kinds of things, atheism, philosophy, science, New Age religions, whatever, false religions, whatever it might be. They're hiding just like Adam and Eve hid in the Garden of Eden, trying to avoid God while at the same time trying to cover up the effects of their own sin with the works of their own hands. Remember, they took fig leaves and fashioned themselves aprons as a form of clothing to cover up the effect of their sin, that they had become naked. And so that wasn't good enough. God killed an innocent animal, probably a sheep, and provided robes from the skins of that animal to cover them up. And you know what? Jesus came into the world, God manifest in the flesh. He came into this world and gave himself up as the lamb that was sacrificed for our sins, to pay for our sins with his own blood. Our sins are covered with the blood of Christ. And when we admit that we're lost and that we're hiding from God, and we admit our sin, and we realize that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, we realize that he came into the world to redeem us from our sin. Well, that's the message that we preach. That's the message that you have to believe. When we believe, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We share the word of God. You have to believe. And then when you believe, if you're willing like Adam to call out and admit what you had done, that you've sinned and you've broken God's laws, then God is willing to forgive us. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not an if, not a might, not a could be, not a potentially, but shall be saved. And that's the greatest Christmas gift of all. God gave his own son that Jesus Christ could die on the cross, shed his blood to pay for our sins, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope you've done that. If you haven't, why don't you consider it? Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.